Manx Radio's update with Beth Espy.
Fatima, good evening. Welcome to Update, your weekday roundup of what's been happening news-wise today. Coming up in the next half hour, after more than 10 years of planning, there's a new facility to support cancer patients and it's just weeks away from opening. We've been for a look round. Also tonight, there's frustration in the north of the island at the delays to replace the Cummel Moor facility. There is some good news for Manx Shearwaters, and if you think you can really handle spicy food, well, you can prove it this weekend. We'll find out about that a little bit later. We'll also keep an eye on the traffic, the travel and the weather as well. And as ever, if you'd like to get in touch about any of the stories you hear about, you can always text us. It's 166177, or you can email studio@manxradio.com. We'll start by joining Siobhan for the news headlines. Fatima Mai.
The chair of the island's employment tribunal has refused to block a whistleblowing claim against Manx Care after the Attorney General's chambers alleged the claim was vexatious, abusive and otherwise unreasonable. A ruling by Douglas Stewart rejected the application to strike out Dr Kelly Elliott's claims of unfair constructive dismissal and protected disclosures. The search for a missing Manx woman in Manchester is ongoing. Greater Manchester Police has confirmed to Manx Radio. Jolene Cowell was reported as missing on Saturday the 6th of September. The staff at Cummel Moor continue to do a great work under difficult circumstances, but they're working in a building that's long past its best. That's from Ramsey Town Commissioner Joe McGuinness, who says a Tynwald written question published this week simply confirms what Ramsey residents already know.
There's just no investment and nothing but glib platitudes from the government.
Isle of Man Energy is set to reintroduce a customer service counter almost 2 years after it closed. Its face-to-face office was shut in November 2023, with the supplier saying it was adapting to the changing needs of its customers and investing more in its online and call centre offerings. Further afield, Lord Mandelson has been sacked as ambassador to the US after new details emerged concerning his friendship with the paedophile Jeffrey Epstein. Moments of silence have taken place in the US, marking the exact time hijacked planes hit the World Trade Center's Twin Towers in New York 24 years ago. A rifle's been found, though a suspect is still on the run after the shooting dead of far-right influencer Charlie Kirk at a university event last night. Beau Mason, commissioner of the Utah Department of Public Safety, says the gunman's thought to be of college age.
After the shooting, we were able to track his movements as he moved to the other side of the building, jumped off of the building, and fled. We do have good video footage of this individual. We are not going to release that at this time.
And Ireland is threatening to pull out of Eurovision next year if Israel competes. They're your headlines. I'll have your news at 6.
Thank you very much, Siobhan. Now the weather brought to you by Manx Glass and Glazing. So there is a risk of a few blustery showers this evening. There will still, though, be some clear intervals. Fresh to strong winds, minimum temperatures overnight of around 10. There is a yellow weather warning in place for coastal overtopping. That's from 1 o'clock tomorrow morning until 5. Then tomorrow, largely dry for much of the day. Just the odd shower around, but the showers will become more frequent and organised, whatever that means, in the evening and for a time overnight as well. It's still going to feel quite breezy in the fresh to strong west or southwest wind, and best temperatures tomorrow will be 16 Celsius. And it is going to stay unsettled over the weekend, and we are expecting strong winds and showers or longer spells of rain at times. Sunset this evening, 7:46. Sunrise tomorrow morning, 6:45.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674 573 or visit the showroom on the Snugbrough Trading Estate.
Lost your keys? Got locked out? Get in with Kevin's Keys, your fast, reliable locksmiths 24/7. Homes, cars and bikes, Kevin's Keys do it all. And why not get a spare set cut and chipped just in case? Call Kevin on 287 287.
At Pagode Cashery, we have been caring for animals for over 50 years. As a cashery, we care for customers' cats and treat them as our own. Contact Pagode Cashery on 676 947 or find Pagode Cashery on Facebook.
SMS Trading. New and second-hand furniture from flat pack to fully built. See our range at 3 St Paul's Square, Ramsey. All-island delivery and man-in-a-van service available. Call SMS Trading on 315151 or find SMS Trading on Facebook.
Reach the Isle of Man's biggest radio audience with Manx Radio. Airtime, sponsorship and digital opportunities available. For more information on how we can help your business grow its market share, contact the friendly, experienced team on sales at manxradio.com.
You're listening waiting to update. It is exactly 5 past 5. And as we just heard in the headlines there, the chair of the island's employment tribunal has refused to block a whistleblowing claim against Manx Care after the Attorney General's chambers alleged the claim was vexatious, abusive and otherwise unreasonable. Now, this ruling by Douglas Stewart rejected the application to strike out Dr. Kelly Elliott's claims of unfair constructive dismissal and protected disclosures. Sean Cowper has the details.
The healthcare provider's legal representative claimed the tribunal has no jurisdiction due to shortcomings in the case. Philip Farrer from the AG's chambers alleged Dr. Elliott's filings don't comply with the rules of the tribunal and also claimed the case was an abuse of the process, labelling them as abusive, vexatious and otherwise unreasonable. Mr. Stewart dismissed the application, saying the requirement is for a brief summary of facts, not a full case, which he says Dr. Elliott complied with. He also said he considered it to be inappropriate to allege the doctor's claims are vexatious, stating there's no valid reason to make such a serious allegation, which attributes positive and actual misconduct by the other party. Dr. Elliott prepared her initial form to the tribunal without legal representation, but has since secured the services of an advocate. Mr. Stewart found there was a serious danger of respondents regularly seeking to strike out complaints made by unrepresented litigants if he accepted Mr. Farrer's submissions. He went on to say adopting too legalistic an approach will tilt the level playing field even further against too many bona fide complainants who do not understand the legal niceties. Mr. Stewart's ruling means Dr. Elliott's tribunal will be able to proceed.
John Cowper reporting there, and we have invited Manx Care to respond to Mr. Stewart's comments. 6:30 past 5, and after more than 10 years of planning, there's a new facility that's going to support cancer patients on the island, and it's just weeks away from opening. This is a state-of-the-art centre. It's at Nobles Hospital, but it's been designed and funded entirely by Manning Cancers and the Manx Breast Cancer Support Group. So it's just opposite the main entrance and aims to provide a warm, welcoming space for patients and their carers. The project cost just under £2.5 million and has been paid for through community fundraising efforts. Amy was given an early look at the site with Derek Peters, Julie Stokes and Karen Wagstaff.
To be honest, this has been in our minds for about 10 to 15 years as somewhere where cancer patients can come and just unload or get proper support and really good, useful information. So yeah, it's really exciting to see it come together.
And you come in and no part of this feels clinical in any way, does it? It very much feels like it's going to be a space that is more comforting and is aimed more at support.
Yeah, we have one clinical room, but no, the rest is. It's so important to us that the feel is that it's a comfortable, you know, tranquil building.
How does it feel seeing it all together now?
It's quite emotional, really, to see it all coming together because we actually never thought that this day would ever come.
So, Derek, then maybe talk me through the building itself. So we're standing in here. How is it going to work for people who are going to be coming in and using this facility?
Well, the idea of the building is that it's see-through. So as a patient and you're walking into an area, if you don't feel like you are ready to talk or ready to get that level of support, you can get out straight away. So the idea is that you look into the building, you can see straight through it. So immediately you're feeling like you're not boxed in. And then where we're standing now is going to be psycho-oncology support from our friends at Minds Matters. And that's for people who are feeling a little bit more than just upset or down. It's somewhere they can go and get professional support from professional psycho-oncologists. So psycho-oncology is really, really important to the centre, and they're tucked where we're standing now. But the beauty of this part of the building is it is part of the building but isn't part of the building. It's somewhere you can go to feel safe, but you're not in the view of the public or anything. So you can, again, you can escape if you want to. So the idea of the design is very much around what the patient. We've all had cancer. We've all walked down those dark, dank corridors. We know what it's like, and we're trying to put our experience into this building.
That is Derek Peters from Manning Cancers. We also heard from Julie Stokes and Karen Wagstaff, both talking to Amy there. And the Manning Cancer Centre due to open in a few weeks. And there's a video on the Manx Radio Facebook page if you want to have a look at it. Coming up to 5:10. So if you have spent the last 2 years lamenting the loss of the public counter service at the Isle of Man Energy, formerly Manx Gas, then there's some good news for you tonight. As you might have heard from Siobhan at the top of the hour, come next week, it is set to reopen. And Lewis is with us now. Fastamai Lewis. years. Just remind us first why this public counter was closed in the first place.
Fastamai, so it was back in November 2023 we were told that this face-to-face service would be no more. At the time, the supplier said it was adapting to the changing needs of its customers and investing more in its online and call centre offerings on the island and in Glasgow. It described this move as an improvement, reflecting the fact it said that most customers now prefer the convenience of managing their accounts online or over the phone from wherever they are whenever they want. It wasn't the total end of its face-to-face services, though, as it launched an appointment service for vulnerable customers and those with especially complex requirements. But from what we heard at the time, not a lot of customers were happy about this move.
So what's going to happen now, then?
So the company has announced today that its public service office on South Quay in Douglas will reopen from Tuesday next week. It says the move forms part of an improvement strategy, recognising the importance of supporting those who are unable to use digital or telephone services. We should say the energy supplier has told us that in addition to billing and payment issues, customers can also get advice on energy saving tips or book a free home energy consultation to ensure they can maximise their heating in the most cost-effective way, as we're aware, winter is approaching. It's also re-emphasised the importance of making contact with the energy provider if you're worried at any time about your gas bills. Its regular online and phone services are continuing, of course, and it adds that it's made a significant investment in its website, online account management portal and its call centres.
OK, Lewis, so just remind us, it is fully reopening next Tuesday.
Yeah, that's right. So Tuesday, the 16th of September, with opening hours of 9 to 5, Monday to Friday. They're making a day of it as well. Douglas Central MHK Chris Thomas will officially reopen the facility at midday on the day. You'll be there.
Oh, I will. I hope there's cake. Lewis, thank you very much indeed. 11 minutes past five now. And earlier this week, a written Timwell question revealed there's still no set date for a financial motion on replacing Ramsay's Cummell Moor facility. Now, the original plan was for a 45-bed residential home with a day centre, but Health Minister Claire Christian confirmed her department and Manx Care were now reviewing the design to align with the government's Home First model. The update has caused some frustration in the north, with some residents saying it highlights a lack of investment in the area. And Ramsay Town Commissioner Jim McGuinness told Siobhan that he's disappointed but not surprised.
It's easy to say Cummell Moor is a clear priority, but the complete lack of any meaningful action over the last 2+ years, I think, evidences that it's not a clear priority. And I have no real hope of anything happening before the next general election. This just feels like another example of Ramsay in the North being second best on the island, that we have a facility that is staffed with great people and provides a really important service, but needs to be updated for the benefit of the whole community in the North and the island as a whole. And there's just no investment and nothing but glib platitudes from the government.
I mean, ideally, what would you like to see on the site? You know, if you could kind of snap your fingers and have it fixed tomorrow, what would you like to see, or would you see it moved? What would be the goal?
So what was agreed a number of years ago is a sort of land swap with Coolnamara, which is the sheltered housing that sat behind Cummell Moor. Ultimately, what we have on that square footage is an awful lot of space that's available. It's in the town centre. It's ideal for exactly what it is, which is residential care. And what I would like is pretty much what had been agreed a number of years ago, which is a state-of-the-art facility that looks after a good portion of our increasingly elderly population. I think this is more than just a facility and the wider picture of investment. There's the human element at the back of this. It's not just the residents who are in Cummell Moor at the present or the future residents. It's the many families which the government's or Manx Care's current Home First policy are picking up the slack. The carers, the family members, the friends, the relatives who are putting themselves into the ground in order to support a lack of investment in our elderly healthcare provision, where that is clearly one of the biggest growing industries on the island because of our ageing population. And that human element can't be forgotten about.
That is Ramsay Town Commissioner Ewan McGuinness. While in response, the Health Minister insists the project remains firmly on the agenda and says government is committed to delivering a modern, flexible facility in the heart of Ramsay, one, she says, that supports people to receive the right care and close to home. It's just coming up to 5:15 and a large crowd walked the length of Douglas Promenade last night in memory of those who've died by suicide on the island. Carrying lit up batons, the group heard the names read out of those residents who, in recent years, have taken their own lives. There was also a minute's silence held, and it was organised by bereaved survivors of suicide Isle of Man. Dave Higson lost his son in 2018.
We're just paying our respects to our loved ones and friends and who've gone before. We're just remembering them tonight. It's just very special for us to commemorate that they lived as well as they died. And we must remember that they did live a life before they passed over.
You've been speaking to a few of the families here already. What's the reaction been like? What are people saying to you tonight?
Yeah, well, there's a lot of unity in our group, and there's lots of members from bereaved survivors of suicide. We support each other through the good times and the bad, and the support's been amazing. And just looking around, there's so many people turned up. And I'm glad the rain stopped, because we've had some rough weather today, haven't we?
It's been rough this afternoon, it has. And yeah, a nice sunset, it seems, over the west of the island. Yeah. So a nice backdrop tonight. Absolutely. And of course, your own personal connection as well. What are you going to be thinking about on the walk?
Yeah, well, I'm going to be remembering, obviously, my son Martin, who died in 2018 by suicide, and also all the friends in the group who I think about their loved ones who have passed as well, and you know, they all the names mean something to me, and I've seen photographs of them. I kind of feel like I already know them, and I'm going to be thinking about all of them, and also the people who are not so well and who need help on the island, and I hope things are going to change. I hope the government's going to put some money into funding and help the people who need it over here. It's very important that we stop these numbers or get these numbers down as much as we can.
That is Dave Higson from Bereaved Survivors of Suicide Isle of Man. And if you've been affected by anything you just heard, help is available at manxradio.com/support.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
One other thing to report on the police pages this evening, so it's just the usual lights that are around at the moment. South Quay, there are temporary lights at the roundabout with the old Castletown Road and the bridge. They're 24 hours a day for patching works. There are quite a few delays around that area at the moment. Temporary lights on Saddle Road, also until until February next year on Braddon Road, just up from Braddon Bridge. There's work on the entrance there to that new residential development. Near Union Mills, temporary lights on Mount Rule and in Peel. There's a stretch of Glenfaber Road, which is closed for installation of a new water main. All okay down at the airport and the steam packet as well. And Manxman June a little bit later this evening, getting here at around 5 to 7.
Ask how you can spread the cost interest free at Quayside.
17 and a half minutes past 5 now, and conservation efforts on the Calf of Man have helped Manx shearwater numbers recover strongly, but experts warn it's no time for complacency. The Manx Wildlife Trust says the species was almost wiped out after a rodent infestation, with eggs left vulnerable to longtails. But action to control the rodents has seen the seabird population soar. Chloe Hurst from the Trust and ecology consultant Mike Haig have been talking to Dave Moore.
Many islands have this same problem, so animals are brought over. Because Manx shearwaters nest in burrows, they're very susceptible to those predators like longtails, which will eat the eggs in the nest in those burrows. So the Manx shearwater population was effectively wiped out on the Calf of Man, but due to an extensive eradication program and now ongoing monitoring and camera traps and everything that are on the island there, the Manx shearwater population is now around 1,000 plus pairs. So the population has bounced back incredibly well, but that doesn't mean that we can just, you know, leave them to it. The Calf of Man has a really important biosecurity plan and lots of management in place. And again, I'm sure lots of other islands are having to tighten up on their biosecurity to ensure that that population can be sustained.
So what is Manx Wildlife Trust doing, and what is Manx Wildlife Trust hoping others can do to help protect the island's bird life?
We advocate marine nature reserves. As I've said, they're really important zones to protect food and foraging. And we, of course, monitor developments on the island to make sure that they're in the right place with regard to the environment and wildlife, so that disturbance to vulnerable species is kept to a minimum wherever possible. And of course, we continue to manage our own nature reserves. For example, we've mentioned the Calf of Man along with Manx National Heritage there. Very important sanctuaries for birds.
That is Mike Haig and Chloe Hurst, both talking there to Dave Moore, 19 and a half minutes past five. Well, organisers of the grueling end-to-end walk challenge have hit a big milestone for this year's race, which is due to take place on Sunday. For the first time in at least a decade, more than 300 people are signed up to take on the event. Race director Tony McIntosh was asked why he thinks it's grown in popularity.
The difference, so going back for a few years, we've got MFX on board now, and then that's allowed us to reinvest in the actual walk. So we've been able to advertise a lot more and just put the walk out there a bit more. And I think people are picking up on that. We're using social media a lot more than we ever have. And I think people maybe are just seeing it as it's just another challenge there to go and have a go at and see if they can do it. I think we're kind of, you know, we want the quick boys at the front, quick ladies as well, because there's some brilliant ladies. But we're also happy to have the guys who just want to come along, see how they do, see how far they can get and see what they can achieve. And I think people are realising that now, you know, you don't have to get to the end. You can just do what you can do and, yeah, see what where you get to.
Of course, to cover the distance of a course like that requires a lot of volunteers, a lot of marshals. So how are numbers looking for that side of things this year?
Yeah, I mean, we're blessed. We've got around 80 marshals who come out and help year on year. They all come out of the woodwork, and we couldn't do it without them, to be honest. There's so many people involved actually in the race, whether it be marshals, timekeepers, even from the sponsor side of things. We actually deal with about 90 different companies just to put the day on. I can't thank the marshals enough, because they're stood out there in the weather all day. Massive thanks to them.
We are aware, of course, that the weather forecast is not looking too promising for Sunday. So if there are to be any changes just with regards to the conditions, what options have you got on the table as organisers?
Okay, so obviously our ultimate aim is to get the event on and get everybody to the sound. We've got to do that safely. We've got to look at, make sure everybody's not in any danger, and even for the marshals and things. So yeah, we do have contingencies in place which we're working through at the moment. The forecast is changeable. It's not written in stone right now. I am hopeful that we should make a decision on Friday as to what we'll do, whether we'll have to shorten the race slightly. As I say, that's purely based on safety of everybody.
That's a race director of the end-to-end walk, Tony McIntosh, talking to Rob there. Now, the Isle of Man's cricket development officer says it's hoped a new state-of-the-art indoor cricket centre for the island will be open in the next few months. Speaking to Darren Timpson, Greg Wright was also asked how the new look formats for the sport on the island have been received in 2025 after a big shake-up which came in for the latest season.
I don't think you'll ever find something that will suit everybody, but having three different formats of cricket meant that it gave a lot of opportunity for people to try what they liked. We had a lot of changes in the domestic structure, which brought 16 over and 10 over cricket into the evening leagues at the start of the year and the end of the year to try and counteract bad light, and also to try and cater in for the 10 over the ECN format stuff. Then a lot of the longer format, 40 over, was trimmed down to 20 over at the weekends to allow two games in a day. A lot of positive feedback around the 20 over at the weekend. Very mixed on the T10. It's something that's a bit of a work in progress. We only played that in the Premier League, so only six clubs experienced that. Those that did well in it liked it. Those that didn't do so well weren't massive fans.
Is the new centre going to allow more training over the winter as well?
Yeah, the national sides tend to do one, maybe two sessions a week through the winter. We usually have a bit of a breather now until November, so but this will allow more opportunities to train. We still have to take into consideration people's time, how much time they've got, but having the opportunity to then be able to just go down and maybe two, maybe three sessions a week where people can pick and choose which one suits them best. Then domestically, with the season only being 12 weeks long now with TT and whatever else not, it'll allow not just national team players to play longer, but also those who aspire to get better.
And so do you think with the introduction of the centre that maybe the playing field amongst some of the cricketers will be able to become a little bit more even?
We're genuinely hoping so. Obviously, there are other sports to take into consideration. People play other sports and that's fine. But, you know, for those that can find an hour or two here or there and just want to drop in and give themselves the best chance, then they can do.
That's Greg Wright talking to Darren Timpson. Coming up to 24 minutes past five, and if you think that you can handle seriously spicy food, you can prove it this weekend as the Chili and Barbecue Festival heads to Onchan Pleasure Park for its second year. Now, this is organised by Fire Island Chili Farm, and the event is billed as a celebration of food with hot wing challenges, food stalls, live music and other things going on as well. The organiser, Stuart Mead, has been talking to Amy.
In 2024 and 25, the Chili and Barbecue Festival is the only thing really that celebrates Manx food. That's another great thing as well. It's a chance to come and support local suppliers, local farms, local providers, because most of our vendors buy the vast majority of the stuff from local suppliers. So it's a chance to support them as well. You know, it wasn't without its difficulties this year. We've had to change location. We were in Castletown last year.
And you talk about the lack of a food festival, and has the reception from the local vendors that you have, has it been, are they relieved to have somewhere that like this that they can market their produce?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's always great to have these kind of events. There is a huge gap in the September calendar now with the Food and Drink Festival sort of on hiatus, I guess. Until at least next year. So this is an opportunity to fill that gap in everyone's calendars. It was a huge miss for everyone, the Food and Drink Festival. And this does it in a different way. We're not trying to be a food and drink festival like the Food and Drink Festival was. We're trying to do something different with it and have a little bit of fun with it. We traditionally maybe have this idea of Manx food being Queenies or spuds and herring or a roast dinner or things like that. So it's showing really the flexibility of local produce out there as well. We'll have loads and loads of different food vendors producing things under that remit. So even local favourites will be producing something new and something different. It's a chance to try different dishes. We've got bands playing. We've got the Pico's Hot Wings competition, which people can enter. And we've also got the EVF chili eating competition.
And so ultimately, you just need people to come along and support you as well.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, we've worked hard to put something together that should be a great day. You can't bank on the great Manx weather, but ultimately, if we didn't do anything because the weather forecast looked a bit dodgy, we'd only leave our house 5 days of the year.
Well, that's true, isn't it? Stuart Mead, who is the organiser of the Chili and Barbecue Festival. So it's happening in Onchan Pleasure Park on Saturday from midday until 9 p.m. Entry is free. Sport time now with Rob Pritchard, but you know what I'm going to ask you, don't you? Are you a spicy food fan, Rob?
I do like my spicy food. Yeah, we were just chatting about this off air, weren't we? Mm-hmm. And I like when you get to the heat of something like a madras or something like that, but just beyond that boundary is when the enjoyment starts to fade away, and that's when sometimes the suffering kicks in. But no, I do like hot and spicy food.
I'm just going to leave it there. You carry on.
I will indeed. So we'll start things off in update sport tonight. Alaman tennis player Billy Harris is through to the quarterfinals of the Guangzhou ATP Challenger event in China. He beat Frenchman Arthur Gier in two closely fought sets, 7-5, 7-6, to progress to the last eight. The world number 136 will take on Belgium's Gauthier Onclan in the next round. Elsewhere, Manx amputee footballer Sean Jackson will be part of the England squad, taking part in the 2025 EAFF Nations League, which starts this week. Jackson is part of the 11-strong national side contesting Division A of the competition in Turkey, which runs from today until next Monday. England, who go into the tournament as defending champions from 2 years ago, face Poland in their first match in Trabzon tomorrow. Also taking part in Division A are the group hosts Turkey as well as Italy. The competition format features 18 teams split across four divisions, with each division taking place in a different country. And in cycling, three Alaman professional riders have been involved in racing action throughout today after both were competing for their respective teams in the Giro della Toscana yesterday. Max Walker and Sam Brand have been involved in another one-day race, the Coppa Sabatini in Italy, during Thursday. Walker helped EF Education Easy Post to a top 10 finish as his teammate Richard Carapaz came home in 7th. Meanwhile, Brand and Team Novo Nordisk were unable to secure a place inside the top 20. Elsewhere, Becky Story returned to racing with Team Picnic Postenel on stage 3 of the Tour Féminine Lardèche today. Yesterday's second stage was cancelled due to Block Everything protests taking place across France. It was a good day for Story and her team as teammate Josie Nelson managed a strong 4th place finish, whilst another squad member, Eleonora Chiboko, also crossed the line inside the top 10 in 9th. Story herself finished in 61st, just over 2 minutes behind stage winner Misha Breidewald of Team SD Works Pro Time. And finally, New Horizon Boxing Club has confirmed its fighters will return to the ring next month. A New Horizon squad will take on a Northwest Select team at the Palace Hotel in Douglas on Saturday. Saturday, the 11th of October. The exact schedule is yet to be confirmed.
Rob, thank you very much indeed. That is all from Update this evening, but do stay tuned to Manx Radio because next it's an Ireland Live special. And this is another chance to hear an interview that the wonderful Geraldine Jameson recorded. It was on the 10th anniversary of the attacks on the Twin Towers. And Geraldine was talking to the author, Anthony Robbins. He's a historian who specialises on New York City. After that, it's Greatest Hits. Kinners is back in the chair. And at 9, it's A Little Like Music with Maurice Powell. And Rhiann will be with you for After Hours at 10. Oh, it's gone. Oh, I'll be back tomorrow.